Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Thursday, July 25th. I'm Lisa Music reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, identities confirmed in fatal plane crash near Neyland Airport, Humboldt Road Tax headed for election, and Grange Fire in Mendocino County destroys residences, threatens others, and forces evacuations. Stay tuned. News on those stories and more coming right up. Mendocino County, evacuation orders are issued for the Grange Fire burning near Philo. Lauren Schmidt reports.
Evacuation orders and warnings have been issued in Mendocino County due to a vegetation fire reported near the Philo Grange on Highway 128, the Anderson Valley Highway north of Boonville. The Grange Fire began around 4 p.m. this afternoon and is currently 50 acres in size. Three zones south of Philo are under evacuation orders, and the surrounding zones under warnings. For more, we spoke with CAL FIRE's Mendocino Unit Duty Chief in this interview.
My name is Mike Heffron from Mendocino CAL FIRE Unit. At approximately 1600 hours today, we had multiple fires in the Philo-Boonville area, Highway 128 near the Philo Grange in Mendocino. The fire is now approximately 50 acres. It's 0% contained, but we have multiple resources there trying to get full containment of the fire, and resources will be there throughout the evening. There were multiple structures in the area that were threatened. We're unknown if any structures were destroyed or damaged at this time. CAL FIRE and local government resources responded to the fire, and multiple aircraft. There are evacuation orders in the Denmark Road and Vista Ranch Road, and evacuation warnings in the Philo area. Evacuation center has been set up at the Boonville Fairgrounds. There are road closures on Highway 128, a half a mile west of Anderson Valley Way, and a half a mile east of Anderson Valley Way as well. Approximate resources assigned are 20 engines, 5 water tenders, 2 helicopters, 2 hand crews, 2 dozers, and a total of 150 personnel. Numerous firefighting air tankers throughout the state are available that have responded to the fire to suppress the fire and keep it as small as we possible can. And we had multiple cooperating agencies from all around Mendocino County that are assisting in the containment of the fire. To remind people at this time that due to the amount of rain and the grass crop that we got and the high fire danger that we're currently in, to have a plan and always have a what you said go plan for you and your family in case there is a fire in your area.
Absolutely. At this time, I know it's a beginning of this incident, but we did hear initial reports that it may have been a vehicle. We did hear that power lines were on fire. Do we have any indication of how this incident initially began?
The investigation of the fire is ongoing. And when we have a full understanding of what happened, we'll release how it started. But the investigation is currently ongoing at this time.
At this point, are you able to share its rate of spread? I know we're looking at a westerly wind, which could drive the fire towards the east. But what rate of spread are we currently seeing?
At the beginning of the fire, it was at a moderate rate of spread. And then at one point, it transitioned to a dangerous rate of spread. And you know, now that we're rapidly getting resources there, it's back to a moderate rate of spread.
While conducting this interview, the fire has jumped to 125 acres. Scanner traffic now indicates that the Grange Fire has jumped south of Vista Ranch, and a structure is fully engulfed. However, firefighters stated that they cleared the residence prior to it catching fire. The Grange Fire is 0% contained. However, CAL FIRE has initiated a full response from the land and air. Evacuation orders are in place for areas near Denmark Road and Vista Ranch Road in Philo. You can see the full evacuation map online at protect.genesis.com. The fire is moving east with a moderate rate of spread, and spot fires have been reported east towards Vista Ranch Road. Highway 128 is closed north of Boonville to Philo. Over 1,100 residents are without power along Highway 28 as a result of the fire. An additional 20 to 30 structures are currently threatened, and additional evacuations may be forthcoming. Again, you can see these zones at protect.genesis.com, and all Mendocino residents are implored to sign up for Mendocino alerts. You can do so at mendocinocounty.org. In addition, our sister station, KZYX in Philo, is currently off the air. KMED News will continue to share updates as information is released. Lauren Schmidt reporting for KMUD.
The Humboldt County Coroner's Office has confirmed the identities of two CAL FIRE subcontractors who perished in a tragic plane crash near Neyland Airport on Tuesday, July 23rd. The pilot of the Cessna has been identified as 49-year-old Gabriel Joshua Culp from Grass Valley. Culp was an experienced pilot with extensive qualifications, including instrument-rated commercial multi-engine certification with over 1,200 total flight hours, 350 multi-engine hours, and 200 tailwheel hours. He was professionally flying support missions for CAL FIRE and had significant experience with low-level operations in mountainous terrain. The passenger, a helicopter mechanic, has been identified as 60-year-old Tomias Edward Smith from Carmichael. Both men were working as subcontractors for Amentum, a company contracted by CAL FIRE. Initial reports indicated that three people were aboard the plane, though only the bodies of Culp and Smith have been recovered from the wreckage. In a press release issued today, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office stated, quote, "At this time, only these two bodies have been recovered from the wreckage," end quote. It remains unclear if a third person was, in fact, aboard the aircraft at the time of the crash. Next of kin has been notified, and an autopsy will be completed in the coming days to confirm the causes of death. The cause of the crash remains under investigation by the National Transportation Safety Board and the Federal Aviation Administration. In a message to all CAL FIRE employees, Director and Fire Chief Joe Tyler expressed his condolences. Quote, "It is with great sadness that I inform you of the passing of two of our Amentum colleagues, pilot Gabe Culp and mechanic Tomias Smith, who tragically lost their lives at approximately 11:09 a.m. in an aviation accident while attempting to land at the Neyland Airport in Humboldt County," end quote. Chief Tyler added, quote, "Although the employees were not assigned to a CAL FIRE incident, it is important to recognize the vital role they play in supporting CAL FIRE's aviation program. I want to thank the Humboldt Del Norte Unit, Incident Management Team 2, Northern Region staff, and our Aviation and Fire Protection Program staff who have experienced another tragic loss. Your professionalism and respect for the deceased throughout this process is appreciated beyond words," end quote. To honor their memory and service, Chief Tyler has authorized flags to be flown at half staff and badges to be shrouded within the Humboldt Del Norte Unit, Aviation Management Unit, and Technical Air Operations. The Humboldt County Sheriff's Office also expressed their deepest condolences to the families of those lost in this tragic accident. We here at KMUD News also extend our condolences to the decedent's friends and family. A sales tax increase to fund county area road work and public transit investment will be on the countywide November election ballot. Daniel Mintz reports.
With revenues dwindling and natural disasters hammering Humboldt County roads, the Board of Supervisors has approved putting a new sales tax measure on the November election ballot. If passed by voters, the measure will increase the county area sales tax by 1 cent, raising the county tax rate to 8.75% on the dollar. That will drum up $24 million a year in revenue to be used for improving and repairing roads and funding public transit. Supervisors voted to put the measure on the upcoming election ballot at their July 23rd meeting. Public Works Director Tom Matson said the county's road upgrade needs amount to $500 million over the next 10 years. The county's road system has dropped into the poor condition category, and Matson said a bad situation will only get worse if new sources of revenue don't emerge.
It's like repairing your roof before your ceiling collapses into your kitchen. Our ceiling on our road system is collapsing into our kitchen. We can no longer just repair the roof. We have dropped down into the poor condition. This was projected by our consultants back in 2017 when we did our prior pavement management report, and that they looked at our existing funding for what we do and said, you're going to keep going down. From our existing report in 2022, they are projecting that we will be in the very poor and failed condition in the next 10 years.
Supervisors discussed the need for funding county area roads, but also nodded to the measure's inclusion of transit system funding, which Supervisor Natalie Arroyo described as making perfect sense. Support for bus service was also voiced during a public comment period that included representatives of environmental groups and Colin Fisk of the Coalition for Responsible Transportation Priorities.
No one who's familiar with local streets and roads would deny that there is a need for investment, for maintenance and repair, as well as for safety improvements. Similarly, I think no one who's familiar with the local transit system would deny that there's a need for investment in the transit system. Contrary to popular opinion, not everyone in Humboldt has a car or can drive one. A lot of people can't drive because of age or disability or because they can't afford it. And by our calculations, at least 15,000 adults in the county don't actually have a driver's license. So you can be sure that a lot of those people, plus a lot of others, rely on public transit to meet at least some of their needs, or those needs just aren't being met. It's our obligation as a community to ensure that community members can meet basic needs. That means access to groceries and healthcare and education and employment. And that means not just roads, but also high quality public transit.
Although road conditions were emphasized during the staff presentation on the measure, public transit figured into discussion among supervisors. Supervisor Mike Wilson said public transit is a key consideration because sales tax hikes have greater financial effect on lower income residents.
I'll definitely be keeping that in mind, which is why we are talking about services for people who don't have vehicles, who don't have cars, who rely on public transit or other ways of getting around, that they have representation in this process as well, because they're paying proportionately a bigger piece for themselves than those that have more. And so I just want to make sure that we are thinking about that. That's important to me. I want to say that this isn't, like, in my world, isn't the measure I would make it, but I think it's a reasonable compromise. I think it's a reasonable way to move forward with a very significant issue that we have in our community.
Other supervisors agreed, and the vote to put the measure on the November ballot was unanimous. The measure will be a general tax, meaning its revenues will go into the county's general fund instead of a dedicated special fund. But there will be an oversight committee to monitor use of revenues. A general tax is favored because it only requires a simple majority, while a special tax would need a two-thirds voter majority. If the measure is passed, revenues from it would start to flow in April of 2025. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
Scammers are increasingly targeting banks and retail customers with fraudulent messages to steal personal information. Consumers often recognize scams from big corporations like PayPal or Amazon, but may trust messages from local entities more easily. However, it's essential to be cautious with all unsolicited communications. Recently, Vocality Community Credit Union customers have been affected. Scammers send fake security alerts to trick recipients into sharing sensitive information. Pat Neighbors, Vocality CEO, advises consumers to avoid falling prey to any of the numerous scams targeting individuals.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Neighbors, President and CEO of Vocality Community Credit Union. Lisa has just asked me to make some comments in regard to the latest scams that are hitting our members and our community at large. Thanks, Lisa, for that. I'll just note that, unfortunately, this is just the most recent thing that is hitting folks. I'll be really clear, this is not targeted at Vocality members. This is a target period in regard to our latest scam, trying to get information from the consumers.
Despite robust security measures, consumers remain a target and must be vigilant, since lost money due to scams is usually irrecoverable due to account holders' unintentional role in sharing access to their account with a stranger, a vulnerability scammers try to exploit.
The best thing I can say and the most important thing that we always want to share with our members and our community at large is, unfortunately, we as individuals are the most vulnerable part of account security. We financial institutions, we retailers, we vendors can do everything we can do to protect our system. And unfortunately, we as consumers are the easiest target for these scammers to get information from. So I would urge everyone to make sure that they are verifying what's coming over their email or verifying any calls they get.
Vocality CEO offered tips on how to handle unsolicited communications that may seem like it's coming from a legitimate source.
The credit union won't call you and ask you for your information. We already have it. If you receive an email or a text that says, hey, you better call or respond to this email or text because your account's in jeopardy, don't respond. Contact your retailer or vendor or financial institution yourself on a trusted phone number or a trusted website. Never respond to those texts like that because you don't know if it's us or somebody else. Definitely look at the email address on any email sent to you. If it doesn't say our email domain, it's not us. If it doesn't have Target's email domain, it's not Target. It's not B of A unless it says it comes from B of A. Those scammers are really good about making the first part of the email look like it might say, yes, this is from Bank of America. But when you look at the actual email address, it has a weird suffix associated with it that is not the email address of Bank of America or Target or whatever vendor or retailer or financial institution. Be vigilant, be aware, and don't respond. Hang up or delete and contact your financial institution yourself via their trusted website or their trusted phone number that you know. Your financial institution, your retailer, your vendor will always welcome your call to make sure that the information that you're receiving is them or isn't them and can always help you verify your account. But you be the driver of making that connection. Don't respond. Don't inadvertently give your information away.
If targeted by a scam, report it to the institution and local authorities. For more information, visit the institution's official website or contact their customer service department. In state news, Northern California's Plumas County wildfire burns out of control, forces thousands to evacuate. KPFA's Eon Chan brings you the latest.
In Plumas National Forest in Northern California, the Go Complex fire has burned over 2,800 acres and had not been contained as of Wednesday morning. The Go Complex fire resulted from the combination of two separate fires, the Mill Fire, which burns near White Hawk Range, and the Smith Fire, burning north of California State Highway 70 between Smith Peak and the community of Mabee. Chandler P. is a deputy sheriff in Plumas County. He says most of the Smith Fire has been brought under control, as more than 400 firefighters have been dispatched to the Mill Fire area.
They were able to get the Smith Fire contained. It's not 100% out yet, but they have it contained at this point. The Mill Fire, or the Gold Fire, it is currently at about 2,800 acres. There's 451 fire personnel on site. dealing with some spot fires and a lot of hand crews and water tenders working the edges.
An evacuation shelter has been set up at Quincy High School. Animals in need of shelter can be taken to the Plumas Sierra County Fairgrounds in Quincy. WDP says around 6,200 residents in the affected areas, including Gold Mountain, Iron Horse, and South Portola, have been evacuated. Adrienne Freeman is a spokesperson for the U.S. Forest Service. She says firefighters have made progress in building a containment line around the fire, but because of potentially strong winds, it is still unclear when the fire will be contained.
In general, when you see convective activity over a fire area, what that can do is cause the winds to be erratic and sometimes strong, which means it's really hard to predict where the fire is going to spread. So that's something that we do have a lot of line. We have a lot of people working. We have a ton of equipment, but we're going to wait to talk about containment until we're confident that those lines are going to hold.
Freeman says they're also expecting thunder and lightning activity in the area, which could make it more difficult to contain the fire in the heavily wooded area. Updates on the fire are available on the Plumas National Forest Facebook page. For KPFA News, I'm Yiyun Chen.
GEMA News reached out to Ed Swofford of the National Weather Service in Eureka to discuss all things weather and what North Coast residents should expect in the coming few days.
My name is Ed Swofford. I'm a meteorologist with the National Weather Service here in Eureka. We've had quite a bit of moisture come over the Pacific Northwest. Now, there's a ridge that's been really resilient over the area, but now what we have is some low-pressure systems kind of to the north up near British Columbia, and we also have an additional one to the south off the coast of Southern California, and kind of getting a little bit of a squish now with these two lows. What we're looking at is possibly a larger wind event that could possibly happen within the end of the week to the weekend. Now, temperatures have slowly kind of started to come down. We did have a peak heating day, you know, Sunday, Monday, some of the hottest days on record for the planet. That's the total average. That's the average value. So that includes the lower temperatures as well. So including the lower temperatures, some of the lower temperatures were higher temperatures than climatically what are normally occurring. So, yeah, that's what they mean by highest temperature in global record, really. It's kind of a bit of an average.
This last Monday, July 22nd, was the hottest recorded day on Earth with an average temperature of 62.9 degrees Fahrenheit. Additionally, Tuesday was another record-breaking day, entering the history books as the second hottest recorded day on Earth, logged at 62.87 degrees. However, cooler days are in the forecast, at least here locally.
There's a good trend of cooling coming up, so we're going to get a little bit of a reprieve. When we had a lot of high temperatures, even all the way out to the coast, but the way the setup looks like we're going to get some relief within these next couple of days. And like I said, the only concern really is, you know, the placement of this isolated low that's going to come and creep up, you know, towards Friday or so.
Two low-pressure systems influencing the lower temperatures will bring a higher wind event coming southeast from the Bay Area in a counterclockwise rotation that may drop humidity on the north coast as it brings inland air from the east and pushes it towards the coast.
The highest winds are probably going to be around Friday, and this is about the time that maybe Thursday, late into Friday morning. This is about the time that we're talking about that we're going to see kind of a larger amount of vorticity from this upper-level isolated low that's going to start edging our way. It looks like most of that vorticity will be hitting into San Francisco area, into the Bay Area. But that still could affect us, you know. This is like a cyclonic rotation, so that'll bring southerlies and westerlies in at the bottom of this low, but at the top of it, it'll bring offshore wind, which for our area, that low, if it does come into the Bay Area, the top of that low. If you think about a clock and it's a counterclockwise rotation, the top of that rotation is where our area is. And that would drive winds to be more offshore. So that would bring drier air from inland, the inland air mass, you know, from the continental U.S., that could bring drier air through the area, which is also a concern because that'll drive the RHs down, you know, and that raises the red flag possibility as well.
The lower humidity and increased winds could prove difficult for firefighters battling wildfires in Northern California. For the latest weather info, visit weather.gov/EKA. That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. And thanks to our reporters, Daniel Mentz, Audie McPhee, Eun Chan, and Lauren Schmidt. KMUD News is online. You can find us on kmud.org, SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook. That's where you can see related stories, links, and videos. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, I'm Lisa Music.